all about the daughters of Tzlafchad. Last thing the Gemara taught us was that if a woman gets married before the age of 20, then she's naturally fertile up to the age of 60. If she gets married from the age of 20 and above, she's fertile till around 40. But if she gets married only for the first time at 40 or more, then she's normally not fertile. So the daughters of Tzlafchad, they were very righteous. They were waiting for appropriate husbands from their own tribe. They only got married at the age of 40 and above. The youngest got married at 40. Some got married older than 40. The Gemara said, how'd they do that? The Gemara said, since they were righteous, they had the miracle of of being fertile even though they got married older. As we find with Yocheved, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, was 130 years old when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. You say, well, how could that have happened? How could a 130-year-old woman give birth to Moshe? The answer is that since she was righteous, she had this miracle of being youthful even at an older age. So that's what we were up to. We're on Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph, about 6 lines down. Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Zvida, Rav Yehuda Bar Zvida said, Malame, this teaches us that she was called a bat, a daughter. The Pasuk says that Amram, Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi, a man went from the household of Levi, Vayikach Bas Levi, he married the daughter of Levi as if she's some young lady. I mean, she was 130 years old. Malamed shenol du basi mani narus, that the signs of being a youthful teen were reborn within her. Nit adena basar, her skin, her flesh became soft again. Nis pashtu hakmatim, the wrinkles smoothed out. V'chazar hayofi limkomo, and the beauty went back to its place. Now, we know that actually Amram had married Yocheved before. We're now at the first wide line on Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. We know that Amram had married Yocheved before because they already had Miriam and Aharon. And then he goes and marries Yocheved again, and they have Moshe. And we know the famous Gemara in Masechet Sota. The Gemara says that when Paro decreed that all the boys who are to be born are to be thrown into the Nile, so Amram went and separated from Yocheved, figuring, you know, why get married to bring a child who'll then be killed? And then Miriam had prophecy, and she said to Amram, you're worse than Paro. Paro's only killing the boys. You're killing the boys and the girls. If you marry mother again, mother's going to have a son. So Amram went and remarried. So why does the pasuk say Vayikach? Vayikach sounds like he married. Vayachzor miboyle, it should be, and he returned to the Bas Levi. He returned to Yocheved. Amram Rav Yehuda Bar Zvid, Rav Yehuda Bar Zvid answered, Malamed, this teaches you that when Amram remarried Yocheved, Sha'asala Masa Lekuchen, the terminology is that he took her because he did for her the behaviors of a first marriage. Hoshiva Ba'apiryon, he seated her in a chuppah, in the canopy, and Aaron and Miriam, Moshorin Lefanel, Aaron and Miriam were singing in front of her. Malachi Ashares Omrim, and the angels were singing, Eim Abanim Smecha, and they were declaring the mother of the children is happy.
Aaron like only like 2 or 3 years older than Moshe?
Yes, Aaron was 3, Miriam was 7.
Not even 3, because Moshe wasn't born yet.
Right. So let's say 2.5. Yeah, so a 2-year-old who was singing, and Miriam was 7.
Rabbi, how did Aaron became a Kohen and Moshe became a Levi?
Hashem chose it. Hashem commanded it. Okay, so now going back to the story of the daughters of Tzlafchad. They're actually listed twice in the Psukim. The first time the Torah says that their names are Machla, Noah, Chagla, Milka, and Tirza. The second time, the Torah says, about 10 chapters later, Vatiyena, Machla, Tirza, Chagla, Milka, and Noah. So the order is different. So why in one time is the order Machla, Noah, then Chagla, Milka, and Tirza, and the other time the order is Machla Tirza, then Chagla, Milcah, and Noah. So once Noah is second, once Noah is last. So the answer is like this: Lahalam later manan akasav derek dulasan. That's the Torah listing them in terms of their age. The Khan, the first time, the order is different because it's derech chachmasan. They're being listed according to their knowledge, according to their genius. Misayel the Reb Ami. This is a proof to Reb Ami. Reb Ami said, "Be yeshiva when you have a group gathering to deliberate, to investigate, to decide, to learn Torah. Halech achar chachma." So you seat people based on their wisdom. The wiser, even though he's younger, should be seated first. The mesiba, but when you have a gathering which is a party, where people are celebrating something together, halech achar zikna, then you seat people based on their old age, and the older person is seated first, even if he's not as wise. Rav Ashi said, v'udim maflig b'chachma. This is true. He can't just be a little bit wiser, he has to be exceptionally wiser. Vuhu demaflig bezikna. And it's not just to be a little bit older. According to Rav Ashi, he has to be exceptionally older. So according to Rav Ashi, as the Rashbam points out, it actually comes out, it's not so clear, right? It's not saying that when you're dealing with wisdom, you put the wisest person down first. Or they sit first. They're given the honor. It has to be that he's both wisest and exceptionally wise. He has to be way, way wiser than the person next to him. But if the person next to him is almost as wise as he is, but a lot older, then that person would go first. So he has to be, number one, that he's younger. And if he's younger, but he's much wiser, then he is seated first. And in terms of a party, so then we seat first the person who is exceptionally older. But if he's not exceptionally older, but the person next to him is exceptionally wiser than him, it sounds like then we would seat the wise first, even in a party. Yeah, these were the daughters of Tzlafchat.
So why just the two went to Moshe?
Why do you think two? All five went.
They all went.
So this is the view of Rav Ashi. However, Tana de Ber Bishmael and the Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel, they gave another, from the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they gave a different answer to these psukim. Not that one pasuk is talking about a question of wisdom, where they're arguing with Moshe, the other pasuk is just talking about a party, a gathering, so then we talk about the age. But rather, Benos Slavchot Shkulos Hayu. Benos Slavchot were all equal. All five of them were equal in all areas. So that's what we find with Moshe and Aaron in Parshas Va'era. Sometimes it says Moshe, then Aaron. Sometimes it says Aaron, then Moshe. And the reason why it does that is because they are equal. So to show you that they're equal, sometimes one is first and sometimes the other one is first. So that's what's going on here. Shenemar, that's what the pasuk says, Vatihiyena, and they were. That means Havoya Achas Lekula, and they all had a single status. Okay. Some more information about the daughters of Tzlafchad. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda is the name of Shmuel. The daughters of Tzlafchad were really allowed to marry a man from any tribe. Because the verse says, "Latov beinam tina en elanashim." To the one who's good in their eyes, they should be as a wife. Elamani and Mekayim. So what do you mean they can marry any tribe? What am I fulfilling in the verse? Achol mishpachas matei avim tien elanashim. Only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they be a wife. Sounds like they had to marry within the tribe of Menashe. No, it wasn't that they were obligated to marry the tribe of Menashe. Eitza tova yisiyah nakasov. This was good advice. The Torah is just advising them. Hashem is advising them to marry from Menashe. Shlo yinasu lagun lahem. That they should only marry someone who is fit for them. They were so righteous. And that was in the tribe of Menashe. That's the view of Shmuel. So Mosiv Rabba challenged this idea of Shmuel. The verse says, In regards to the prohibition of a tame person eating meat of a korban, the verse says that if a tame person eats meat of a korban, eats the holy meat, while he is impure, the soul will be cut off. Terrible sin. So Rabbah challenged. The verse says over there, in regards to that prohibition of an impure person eating a korban, emor aleihem, so tell them, lidoro seichem, to your generation. So why did it say emor aleihem, lo sanom din al har sinai? Tell them to those who are in the desert, those who stood at Har Sinai. And then it goes on, lidoro seichem, for your generations, lidoro sabaim, future generations as well, have this law that an impure person may not eat consecrated meat, and if he does, he deserves death. Now, Imnamar Avos, if it said to the fathers, right, if it said, tell them, namely the generation in the desert, Lamanamar Banim, why does it say to the sons, Lidoro Sechem, for your generations? Imnamar Banim, if it says sons, Lamanamar Avos, why does it say about the earlier generation? The answer is, Mipnashi Yeshba Avos, Mashain Bavanim, because there were certain qualities that existed in the earlier generation that we would not have, that did not exist in the later generation. And there were things in the later generation, Mashain Bavos, that didn't exist in the earlier generation. But I mean, there are certain laws that only apply to those in the desert. They didn't apply to those who entered Israel. And then there were laws in Israel that didn't apply to those in the desert. So what are that? So the Gemara explains, the Brice explains. So, Ba'avos, in regards, what are the laws that apply to the fathers, to those who were in the desert, that didn't apply to the children? Ba'avos u Omer, those in the desert had the verse, V'chol bas yereshes nachala, any girl who inherits a piece of land, because there was no son, has to marry a husband from her tribe, from her father's tribe, so that the land stay within the tribe. And then, harbe mitzvahs, there were many commandments, that nitzdavu banim, that were told to the children who, or the children who entered Israel began to fulfill. Shalom etztabu avos, that the parents didn't have, like the mitzvos of the land of Israel, like Truma, Maser, all the agricultural mitzvos, Shemitah, they only began once we entered Israel. So therefore, Hamipnei Yesh Bavos Shem Bebanim, there were commandments that applied to the generation of the desert that didn't apply to their children. V'yesh Bevanim Mashein Bavos, and then there are commandments that apply to the children that didn't apply to their fathers. That's why Hutzach Lomar, that's what the Pasuk has to say, that this law, this commandment of a person who's impure may not eat consecrated meat, that applies to the Avos, to those who are in the desert, and Hutzach Lomar Banim, and it applies to the children, to those who are entering the land of Israel. This law applies to both generations. Katani Mias. Okay, that's the Braisa. But what does it say, though? It says, Ba'avosu Omer, the generation of the fathers, those who are in the desert, they have the law of V'chol Bas Yereshes Nachala, that any girl who inherits an inheritance is to marry a man from her tribe, from her father's tribe. So that means that the daughters of Tzlafchad had to marry a man from their father's tribe. Not that it was good advice. That was their mitzvah. So Humosavla, so Rabbah asked this question, Humafarikla, and Rabbah answered the question. That apparently, according to Shmuel, any girl who inherited an inheritance because there was no son, and that first generation when they were in the desert would have to marry a man from her father's tribe. But the daughters of Tzlafchad were so righteous, maybe the people in their tribe wouldn't be fit for them. So there, for them, Hashem gave them a different law. Hashem told them, L'tov be'ineihem tihyena, to the whomever is good in their eyes they shall be. They were allowed to marry any man. It was good advice for them to marry within their tribe, but really they could marry any man. But all the other girls had to marry from within the tribe if they inherited. Levari b'lo Tzlafchad, the daughters of Tzlafchad were the exception. Okay? It's really a fascinating idea, according to Shmuel, right? Because here it's the people of Menashe that come to complain. They say the daughters of Tzlafchad are getting land of our relative Tzlafchad. Now they're going to marry a man from another tribe. The land's going to move from Menashe to another tribe. Moshe asks God. God says any girl who inherits land should marry within the tribe of her father that she's inheriting from. But he meant any girl other than the daughters of Tzlafchad, even though they were what precipitated the whole discussion. They themselves, theoretically, could marry from another tribe. It's just good advice for them to marry within Menashe. And others have to marry from within the tribe. Amar Mar, we just learned. Ba'avo, we learned this Braisa. The Braisa was discussing the law that a person whose tameh may not eat that which is kodesh. A person who's impure may not eat meat of a carbon. And it said that there's a prohibition. But the Torah phrases the prohibition with lots of words. It says, Amor Alehem, tell them, Lidaros Efem, for your generations. So why does it say both tell them and for your generations? Hashem is commanding both the generation that's in the desert as well as their descendants. Because you might think there's certain laws that only apply to those who are in the desert. There are other laws that only apply to those who entered the land. So therefore the Torah to say twice, it applies to both of them, both generations. Amar Mar, so we just said, Ba'avos, in regards to the fathers, those who were in the desert, there were laws that were only for them. For example, V'chol Basu Reshes Nachala, any girl who inherits an inheritance has to marry from within her tribe. Ba'avos, in that was true about the fathers, B'vanim Lo, that wasn't true about the sons. My mashma, how did they know that that law didn't apply after the first generation, didn't apply to the people who once they entered Israel? Amar Rava, so Rava said, Amar Kakas, the Pasuk says, Zadavar. Pasuk says, Zadavar Shetiva Hashem Livnos Slavchad Leimor. This is the matter. Lato Beinim Tiena Lenashim, Achlo Mishpachas Mati Avim Tiena Lenashim. V'lo Sisov Nachlo Vnei Yisrael Mimate El Matek. Yish Bin Achlas Mati Avos Vid Bekub Bnei Yisrael. So the Torah begins with saying, Zadavar, this is the matter. Then it ends off with saying, a person has to stay within their tribe. Yish Bin Achlas Mati Avos Vid Bekub Bnei Yisrael. So since it said, Zadavar, this is the matter, Davar Zed, saying this is the thing, this, limited for this. It's only in this generation. Lo yehi noeg ela bedor zeh. It only apply in this generation. Amrele Rabba Zuti l'Ravashi. Rabba Zuti said to Ravashi, if you say that the word zadavar means this matter only applies here, it's limited, but doesn't apply elsewhere. Elameata, what about other times in the Torah where we have the phrase zadavar? For example, there's a prohibition that if you have a korban, you're not allowed to slaughter it outside of the temple. Shchutei chutz. So zadavar de shchutei chutz. This law that you can't slaughter the sacrifices outside of the temple. Hachanami lo yehi noeg ela bedor zeh. Does it only apply to this generation, to the Jews who were in the desert, but it didn't apply once we entered the land of Israel? No. When it says there, shiny awesome, there it was different. Dechsev, it says about that law, ledoro sam, for their generations. For their generations, it's to continue for generations after we were in the desert. One second, if you say Zadavar implies this is the matter, this is a limitation, this is a law that only applies to this generation, which is what you said is the source for how we know that the law that a girl who inherits has to marry from within her father's family, that was only for that first generation, but not afterwards. It's from the word zadavar. What about the law that when a person makes a vow, the vow can be annulled, the concept of hataras nedarim, which is in the beginning of Parshas Matos. There too, the Torah says zadavar. And we know the law of annulling a vow is that if somebody makes a vow, they can go to a court of three. The court does not have to be experts. It could even be a diotos. And the court can figure out with him that he really made a mistake in making the vow. He didn't mean it. He didn't realize the import. Had he been thinking about what it was really all about or what the realities were all about, he never would have made the vow. Or he can go to a single individual who's a great scholar and an expert, and he can also remove the vow. So there the Torah introduces it with the word Zadavar, the Rashi Amatos. Does that mean also Zadavar, this is the matter, that the law of removing vows was only for that first generation in the desert, but not afterwards? Amar Leis, he said to him, that Zez used for something else. Ahu, that was Yalev Zez Zeh Mehasam. That was needed for Gzeirah Shava, that sometimes you have the same word in two contexts, you teach from one matter to the next. So it says in regards to the prohibition of slaughtering a sacrifice outside of the temple, Zadavar. And it says in regards to Hafarat Nedarim, Removing vows, zehadavar, it's to link removing vows to slaughtering outside of the temple. Now, just like in regards to slaughtering outside of the temple, that's a law that applied in all generations, because the verse said explicitly the Dorosam, for their generations. It's not just for this generation. It says Ludorosam, for their generations. So to the law of removing vows is for their generations, and not just for this generation. So wait 1 second. So why do you just have a gzeirah shava of two things? Put in a third. Hi, Nami, let's take our matter, the matter of a girl who inherits land that she's supposed to marry within the tribe of her father. Leilif zezeh mehasam. Say, okay, says over here, zehadavar, but we'll say the definition of zehadavar doesn't just mean this generation, zeh dor zeh. It means this generation and future generations, just like in regards to shchutei chutz, the prohibition of slaughtering a sacrifice outside of the temple. It said the dorosam to mean that it's beyond just this generation. So to hear, even though it said zehadavar, it should also have the dorosam that it's beyond just this generation. So the Gemara answered. No, hi mai. You can't say that. Bishlama hasam in regards to the prohibition of sacrifices outside of the temple and the law of removing vows, it's drichlegzeira shava. There are lots of laws that go back and forth between the two of them, and therefore there's a gzeira shava of zadavar in both. But hacha, but in regards to a woman who inherits that she can't marry out of her father's tribe, there's no gzeira shava that we need to link laws from shchutei chutz to it. We just want to use this for one point. We want to add this one idea that it goes on for future generations. Well, we don't have a pre-existing gzeira shava. So therefore, we can't do it. Because basically, what are you going to say? That the purpose of the word zadavar was to link it to shchutei chutz? Lishtok kramine, just drop the word zadavar. Then my assumption is that a law is for all generations, right? If the whole reason why I'm saying the law of a daughter who inherits should only be for one generation is because of the limitation of the word zed, this. It applies this, but not more. But if I'm going to say that it said this, but this is really to link it to the this of not slaughtering an animal outside of the temple. Not slaughtering an animal outside of the temple. Torah says explicitly for generations. So this law is also for generations. I don't need that. Just drop the whole word this, and then I would know it's for generations. Like all laws are for generations. In regards to shchutei chutz versus hafaras nedarim, there are lots of laws that I learned from one to the other. So that's why I have to say zen both. But here, this is the only law I would want to learn. So this law I could figure out without the word zed. Should never have said the word zed. So that's why here there is no gzeira shava. But in regards to shchutei chutz and hafaras nedarim, even though it says zadavar, there it does apply to all generations because there is the gzeira shava between the two. Now, what's this gzeira shava? What laws are we learning from the two? So my gzeira shava, what are the many laws that we're learning back and forth between don't slaughter sacrifices outside the temple and the concept of rejecting vows? Tanya, we learn the following braisa. Ne'amar kan, it says about rejecting a vow, zehadavar. Ne'amar lahalan, it says about the fact that you can't slaughter a sacrifice outside of the temple, zehadavar. So both are the same phrase, zehadavar. This is the matter. So ma lahalan, Aaron uvana v'chol Yisrael. In regards to shchutei chutz, the verse says that it applies to everybody. To Aaron, his sons, all of Israel, they can't slaughter an animal outside of the temple, a sacrifice. Afkan, so too here in regards to rejecting a vow, it's not just the leaders, not just Aaron and his sons, it's Aaron uvana v'chol Yisrael, Aaron, his sons, and all of Israel, that even a simple person can serve as a judge to reject a vow. You can have three adyotos. Umakan, and now it did mention, though, in regards to rejecting vows, Rashi Hamatos, this is a law told to the heads of the tribes. Aflahalon, so too, in regards to the law of not slaughtering an animal, not slaughtering a sacrifice outside of the temple, apply to it the phrase, Rashi Amatos, the heads of the tribes. Amar, we just learned, Malahalon, just like in regards to Shchutei Chutz, it said, Aaron Uvana V'chol Yisrael, Aaron his sons, and all of Israel, Afkan, so too in regards to rejecting a vow, it's Aaron Uvana V'chol Yisrael, it's Aaron and his sons, and all of Israel, Amai Hilchasa, what does that trying to teach. Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Acha bar Yaakov explained, Lomer to say, Shafar as Nadar, Mishloshet Yotos, that you can reject a vow with a court of three. That court of three doesn't have to be experts. They can just be simple people. It's saying, Kol Yisrael, all of Israel are like Aaron and Vanav. They're like Aaron and his sons. All of Israel are like the giant. They're like the leaders of the generation. That simple people can also reject a vow. Now, it says in regards to rejecting vows that this is a law given to the leaders of the tribes. That means it has to be the giants. So no, it doesn't mean that. Really, it could be regular people. Because we're applying the words Kol Yisrael and linking them to Kol Yisrael being linked to the giants. So why did it say this is a law of the leaders of the generation? That's to add that a great Torah scholar individually can reject a vow. You could have three simple people or a single Torah scholar. I'm Rabbi Yochan, that's for the law of Yachid Mumche. So now, Hachanami, so just like Rabbi Yochan said, Yachid Mumche, here too, the Yachid Mumche. The idea of Rashi Amatos is that you could have a single expert rejecting a vow, and the connection to Shchutei Chutz is to say you could have three simple people rejecting a vow. Then the Braisa continued and said, Umakan, and just like in regards to rejecting vows, the Torah says is a law given over to Rashi Hamatos, to the heads of the tribes, Aflahalan, so too in regards to the law of not slaughtering a sacrifice outside of the temple, apply to it the words, Rashi Hamatos, heads of tribes, because of the Gzeira Shava, because of the common words, Zahadavar, Lamai Hilchasa, what law do you learn out of that? Amrev Sheshes, you learn, Sheyeh Sheila Behekdesh, that just like a person who made a vow can go to either three simple judges, or he can go to a single expert and say, I made a mistake in the vow, I didn't realize, I said I would never talk to my mother-in-law, I didn't realize how important it was to my wife, had I realized I never would have made the vow, and then they can remove the vow. You can remove sanctification too. You can even remove sanctification after the fact. A person makes an animal a korban, and then he makes a mistake and he slaughters that animal outside of the temple. Now he did a terrible sin. He says, one second, had I realized that this is the animal I'm making a korban, I don't have any other animals in my pen, I never would have made it a korban. He can go to the three simple people, or he can go to a single expert, and they can remove the sanctification retroactively. They can say, yes, it was really all a mistake. If it was all a mistake, we're doing hataras nedarim, we're unraveling the vow, we're unraveling the sanctification, and the sanctification can be removed. Really? What about Ula Beis Shammai? What about according to Beis Shammai? Da'ami, they'd say, Ein She'ela Behekdesh. You can't remove sanctification retroactively. You can't say, oh, I made a mistake. Sages, please remove it. So what do they do with this Gzeira Shava linking Hataras Nedarim to Shchutei Chutz? The time we learned in the Mishnah, Beis Shammai, Omer Hekdesh Tos Hekdesh. If you made sanctification and it was a mistake, it's still holy. Beis Hillel Omer Eino Hekdesh. It's not holy. So according to Beis Shammai, Hai Zev Zemai Avdilei, what do they need this Gzeira Shava linking Shchutei Chutz to rejection of vows? Answer the Gemara, Zadavar the Shchutei Chutz. They all interpret it differently, not as a Gzeira Shava, but they interpret it like this. Zadavar of Shchutei Chutz mi boilei ala shochedu chayev eino chayev ala moleg. Zadavar, this is the matter where there's an obligation. If somebody slaughters an animal that is sacred, then there is this law and these punishments. But if somebody takes a sacred bird and he severs the neck with a thumb outside of the temple, even though that's in the temple, that's the way to offer it, that would not be this prohibition. And Zadavar de Rashi Amatos, and the fact that it says this is the matter in regards to rejecting vows in Parshas Matos, Miboyle, that's to teach you, according to Beis Shammai, again, not Gzeira Shava, but Lechacha Matir, it's to say that a sage, Rashi Amatos, they can reject vows and unravel them with the terminology of mutar, it's all undone. Vein baal matir. But a husband doesn't have that ability. A husband has the ability to be mefer. He can annul a vow going forward, but he can't unravel it retroactively. Baal mefer. A husband can be mefer. Vein chacham mefer. A chacham doesn't have the ability to be mefer. A chacham only has the ability to be matir. So the Gemara asks, so the Beis Shammai, less Lugzei Rashava. So if Beis Shammai doesn't have this Gzeira Shava, Hafar as Nadarim B'Shlosha Yotas Minalahu, how do they know that you can reject the vow with three simple individuals? They don't have the Gzeira Shava linking Kol Yisrael to Aaron Uvanav. The answer is Nafkaluhu. They learn it out. Me to Tanya for the following Baisa. Moshe told the commandments of the holidays to the Jewish people. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Rabbi Yossi Aglili explained, Moadei Hashem Namru, the holidays of Hashem were said, Shabbos Bereishis Lo Namra, he didn't talk about Shabbos. Ben Hazai Omer, Ben Hazai said, Moadei Hashem Namru, the holidays of Hashem were said, Afaras Nadarim Lo Namra, but rejecting vows wasn't said. So we're going to see from here, we're going to learn that there is the possibility of rejecting vows by simple individuals.